it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Friday here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. I mean, how could you not have a happy Friday starting with that kind of energy?
Yes,
that's
sir.
What we're hoping to continue all throughout the show before we hand it off to the fellas of the drive who've got, you know, a football Friday out at, I believe it's BB's over there in Katy. They got the giveaway of the pint glasses with our faces on them this time around.
Hey now.
And so we just got to bridge the gap. And how we do that, we have a lot of fun talking about some football. We get you your college football headline later on. We talk to B. Scott. We do that question of the day, talking about your interactions with the police. But we start by talking about your Houston Texans. We're gearing up for a Monday Night Football game. Obviously, we get to be a part of the co-main events on the weekend of Week 2 NFL football. But as we are working our way there, we finally are getting some practice. We got to practice injury reports, things of that nature. And obviously, we get to hear from the coach of the team, the quarterback of the team. And there was something that happened yesterday with D'Amico that, that kind of caught some attention. It seemed like when he was asked about Nick Caley, and we'll hear that here in a second, he might have taken a little bit of the onus off of him. Is this fair or foul?
Nick did a good job, right, with the play calls. At the end of the day, we all have to just put ourselves in position where we can actually call the game, right? We're behind the sticks a lot, shot ourselves in the foot a lot, where we're in second and long, and just third and long a lot. That's not a great place to be as a first-time play calling your first game. So if we can play well together and stay on schedule, stay on track, then we can see how the game is called.
What is he talking about there? Who is he talking about there? We have to put ourselves in position to call a good game. Everybody?
I think there's a little bit of everybody. Clearly, there we could talk about the penalties with the offensive line. We could talk about, I mean, obviously the quarterback's going to have to deal with some of this because I think getting to the line was part of this somewhat. Getting to the line, giving CJ the opportunity to make some of the calls, and that kind of set them behind sometimes. But yeah, that feels like an everybody effect. Just to get to the question, right, the fair or foul, I do think that there's some fair within this. Nick Caley is in an unenviable position.
Sure.
In some regards. His predecessor has created a – this is a word that is a little – it's a little charged, but I'm going to go ahead and use it and hope you understand what I mean. This is an environment that's a little toxic because of Bobby Slowick's tenure. Not necessarily specifically Bobby Slowick, but we could just say – the tenure that was here. And now you're in this context where you're like, we need to see something from the offense from a dude who is coming in and starting his journey as a play caller. Hell, he talked to us on that sideline at training camp telling us that this is the first time that he's calling plays, right? There is a learning curve that exists, and I think for a head coach, it is incumbent upon you to protect your staff, and some of that is keeping some of the expectations there. At the same time, though, he's a leader on that side. And so there is some onus on him that I think should be there that is probably that probably doesn't jump out to you in that answer.
Okay, I'm glad you said that because he said, quote, Nick did a good job. And then he said, we got to put ourselves in a position to actually call the game. So I'm kind of in the same boat as I heard that. That's kind of everybody needs to do their job. But what if we drill down a little deeper?
Let's go ahead and drill
What if we drill down a little deeper and ask specifically about the offensive line? Specifically,
this is D'Amico 8 here.
I thought our offensive line did a good job. Again, in the game, we can help ourselves by stepping up in the pocket on a couple of the sacks that happened. But again, I thought we had clean pockets versus the Rams as well. So, there are a lot of good things that happened versus the Rams. It's just, they made more plays than we made. And that's the bottom line. You know, we hurt ourselves in the red zone defensively. We were down in the red zone 3 times. 2 times we gave up touchdowns in the red zone, right? We stop them. We make them kick field goals there, right? We're sitting here telling a different story. So, again, it'll always be about us and what we do, how we execute. We execute the right way. We'll put ourselves in favorable position to win games.
All right, so he said Nick did a good job. And then you drill down a little further, and he said the offensive line did a good job. And then he said, we have to step up in the pocket.
All of us. We all have to step up in the pocket.
We have to step up
Blake
in the
Fisher,
pocket.
Blake Fisher, step up in the pocket, big dog.
And help.
Nico Collins, step up in the pocket, brother.
So Nick did a good
Dare,
job.
Dare, why are you not stepping up in the
Dare,
pocket?
Step up. Nick did a good job. The offensive line did a good job, according to the head coach. And we have to step up in the pocket. We have to help ourselves. He's not talking about all of us, Reggie. He's not talking about all of us. He's talking about one dude.
No, that's C.J. Stroud, quarterback of the team. And I'm sure they're
I thought he was talking about Dameon Pierce.
He probably should have stepped up in the pocket, though. I feel like everybody, we should be seeing a lot of stepping up in the pocket from all the people on the offensive side of the football. No, you're right. Like, there is absolutely more responsibility that he's placing on C.J. And I kind of find that, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people listening. They're like, yeah, he deserves to have more of the responsibility. You are asking him to do more of the things. I kind of find that surprising, though, because in the same way we talk about Nick
Because
Haley,
of DeMeco, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
And some of the things that we're talking about with Nick Haley and trying to kind of shield him from the, you know, as he's trying to step into a role that, you know, he is figuring out. CJ is also doing some of that, of stepping into this role. And I don't think he's wrong in saying CJ needs to step up into some of these clean pockets when he has the opportunity. He mentioned the three drives where they didn't score. I mean, the first one where they kicked the field goal, rather, where they're in the red zone. The first one, I'm looking at my notes. First down is like there's an unblocked edge, and then you have a couple of – you have a rush that goes nowhere, so you're in a third and seven, and the ball is a little tough. It's not a great ball to Dalton Schultz, but that's a third and seven where you're in a tough situation. I mean, I could look at probably another I'm going to go back and look through all of these possessions that end up flailing. But ultimately, I'm seeing things and I'm going, there's a lot of places where CJ was let down. And so now, are we making the expectation that CJ has to be the guy that fixes all of the answers right now?
That's a great question. And this may surprise you. I am right there with you. I kind of like that this is happening. That he said, well, it wasn't Nick. This is essentially what he said. It wasn't Nick. It wasn't the offensive line. That kind of narrows it down now, doesn't it? I kind of like that because here's what I think they're really saying, more so behind closed doors, my opinion, than really a very candid for DeMeco Ryans. He protects his players like he does his 401k. I mean, he doesn't touch it. You know, he doesn't touch that, you know, throwing players under the bus very often. But he did kind of point to C.J. Stroud here. So I think what's going on is they're basically saying in so many words, or maybe even in the words, hey, this is what you wanted, big fella. This is what you wanted. Now do it.
But
now,
is it what, like, more responsibility is absolutely what he wanted, 100%. Yeah. And he said as much a number of times. If we're talking about what C.J. Stroud, from what we know of him as a quarterback, wants in an offense, is it this now offense?
Now that is a different topic.
Is it ball control running the football?
Yeah, no, you are... You know what might be happening here is C.J. Stroud sees, by the way, FOMO to the nth degree last night, sees people like Jordan Love, you know, sees people like all the quarterbacks in Minnesota that have gone through there, from Kirk Cousins to Sam Darnold to now J.J. McCarthy, and he thought, I want more control so I can do that. I want to do that. We have a great defense like Green Bay. We have a great defense like Minnesota. I want to be able to do that. And so they said, yeah, we're going to give you control. Except they're not doing that.
About to say, that ain't the Patriots offense, all those other teams running.
Yeah, and they are running the Patriots offense here based on everything that we've seen and heard, et cetera. So I'm with you. I think they're saying, hey, big fella, you wanted it, you got it, now execute it. And I don't mind that, to put that on the quarterback, especially your franchise quarterback. But the quarterback might be saying, whoa. That I wanted it, but not this particular thing.
And one thing I will say is CJ seems like he very much is the type of guy that he's like, all right, you give me the challenge, I'll take it on. I kind of don't love that, placing it all on him. And I want to be careful here, because he is talking about those instances of how did the offensive line do? Mm-hmm. And in that specific case, CJ Stroud needs to step up to help them when the tackles are doing the things that they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of space. There's enough space for you to step up into, which he's not wrong about. That is it. But if we're extrapolating this out to, hey, this offense was clearly not good enough, I don't know how much you're just going to go, well, CJ needs to figure all these things out, especially, again, in his maiden voyage of the way that this offense runs. I know this DeMeco is a protector of his guys. I do think that there is more that's required of Nick Haley. And I like the idea of protecting him, but the onus does fall on him. And you mentioned Thursday night football. See, I didn't call it Monday. Last night, between the Packers and the Commandos, as I like to call them, And one of the things that you see, as you mentioned, oh, look at Jordan Love going up and down, is you see a coordinator that's giving him the opportunities to do that. That's giving him the things that will create those. And right now, as of right now, you're not seeing that yet. And it's somewhat to be expected with an inexperienced offensive coordinator, but that's also a position that was hired by D'Amico Ryan.
It's an inexperienced offensive coordinator, but it is the offense as much as the coordinator making the calls, because the offense doesn't let it rip like that. And it leads to this, and boy, here we are, week two, and I know everything can change 10 times between now and the end of the season, but CJ, I won't say he has to have or it's this, so important, but he could really use a big game on Monday night. He could really use some big chunk plays, as they call them, and all that, just to appease him and to let him feel, okay, this offense will work and I will be able to showcase a little bit.
We've jumped past some things. Can I go back?
Yeah.
Do you feel like there's any level of, like, tension within this? Because I know CJ Stroud, when he was asked something of the similar, he's like, nah, we're all in the same boat. We're all just going to go.
Yeah.
And he I think he even went as far as saying, even if we lay another stinker, we're going to come back around and we're all going to, you know, be on the same page, fighting and clawing for what we're doing, in essence, right? That's not an exact quote. Did you get a sense in, because, I mean, piecing these two things together where you go, it's not Kaylee, the offensive line was solid, CJ needs to do a little bit more. Yeah. Did you feel a little tension there, or is that taking a leap too far?
I don't know if it's taking a leap too far. I think it's a seed right now. It's just a seed that, you know, the first impression, the first, you know, showcase that CJ Stroud had wasn't exactly a showcase. And I think it's just kind of, you know, sitting there right now. That's why he needs to, you know, he needs to blossom a little bit, to use the seed metaphor, but he needs to blossom a little bit week two so he can maybe get that affirmation, that confirmation, that validation.
Yeah, and 281, CJ killed three possessions by his decisions. I'm not here to tell you that he had a perfect game. CJ was pretty good in that game considering the circumstances. And if we're doing this off of just when you have some poor decisions in here, there was also some misses that happened in other places that all compound into you only putting up 9 points. He's good. It seems like what we're seeing, at the very least, is the onus is going to fall on CJ's shoulders.
It absolutely
he
is.
Welcomes it, and you're going to need to be able to shine through that, as you've described. So that's the weekend that you're heading into with CJ Stroud and this Texans team. And look, they still got a couple more days of practice before they get to the place where they can welcome in the Buccaneers on Monday night. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Definitely more to examine from the Texans and where they stand, but also a lot to examine with the Houston Astros after they get a loss, and lo and behold, there is a tie at the top of the AL West. Let's talk about the game that happened yesterday and where the Astros find themselves next. Yeah.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Happy Friday to you. Headed into the weekend with In the Loop. 713-572-4610 is the number to text. Also appreciate the MoCaram Injury Lawyers for the live streams, both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and on the Twitch chat, 610 Houston. Those are various ways that you can get involved. Is it slipping away, John Lopez, for the Astros? Is they get a loss where it never felt like they were particularly in this game. And that loss obviously serves to make it a series loss versus the Blue Jays, but then also it serves to open the door for the Mariners to have the exact same record now as the Astros. And so there is no lead in the AOS for the Astros as they continue on to the final, 16 games? 15 games
of the
season?
15 games, yeah.
Is it slipping away?
Well, the question is it slipping away or has it slipped away?
Oh.
Our listeners, you know, you can weigh in based on what you've seen. How this team is playing, what their offense is doing, what the pitching situation is, what the Mariners are doing. I think they've won 5 in a row now, walked it off yesterday. Of course, you have – I find it impossible to say it has slipped
six
away.
6 in a row even.
6 in a row?
Yeah.
I find it impossible to say it has slipped away because you still have the Mariners coming in. You know, you still have that, you know, just on the horizon next week, you know, coming in, you know, with the Mariners. So that said – it does feel that way just because, like, Tuesday, I came in here and on Wednesday and I said, boy, that was the worst loss the Astros have had all year. And nobody disagreed. Yesterday said, hold my beer. That was ugly. I mean, just literal comedy of errors. I think there was only one official error, but there should have been two.
Yes, I always forget. Scorekeeper Lopez came into account.
Lopez would have called that. I mean, it was right there in front of him, and he didn't even dive. It was just low. But that's neither here nor there. Just comedy of errors on the field. And, you know, shout out to, you know, to Gausman. I mean, that was an incredible pitching performance. 100 pitches, 79 strikes. Nevertheless, though, you're swinging out of the zone a lot, too. A lot of those strikes, you're swinging out of the zone. You're just trying to make something happen. Can I interest you in some numbers? And I know the answer of that.
Always. I love numbers.
All right. So over the last 15 games, the Astros are 5-10 and have a 217 batting average.
As a team?
As a team.
That's nasty business.
Without Yordan? Without Yordan?
What?
That's a great one.
That's an old
one. That's an old school one. So a 217 batting average, 5-10 record over the last 15 games. Without Yordan, the team is batting 196.
Jeez.
196.
And what's even sicker about that is it's not just the raw 196. It's the fact that when you were facing off against in moments that you need it. Earlier on the season, it felt like when you didn't have offense, at the very least you had timely clutch hitting.
Mm-hmm.
That is nowhere to be found right now in the time where you need it the absolute most. Because even if you are able to have your bullpen step up when they can, if you're able to get a good outing on the mound, it doesn't feel like you're able to get just enough of timely hitting to get you over. And unless you have one dominant portion of this baseball team, which I don't know that you can point to right now, you need everybody to give you just enough. And without timely hitting, I don't know what you have offensively.
And then the pitching is all of a sudden back to square one, really, given some of the guys that have been injured. You know, Luis Garcia down, Arrigetti down, some of the other things that, you know, obviously Hader as well. I'm just going to stick with it slipping away because it's obvious, but it has all the markings of it ain't going to happen. It ain't going
to
happen.
Yeah, because what would be necessary for it to happen? You mentioned the Mariners still on the schedule. You're 5-5. Like you're tied up, knotted up with them right now. You would need to win that series
for sure,
absolutely, to get over this. And I mean, you're actually down in the series with the Rangers, who are now
all of a
simply
sudden,
two games behind you as well. So God forbid they go on some type of run with the kind of mediocre play that the Astros have been on recently. And then you would even need to make sure that you like sweep a series versus the Rangers in order to, like, if you needed some level of tiebreaker there. Like, this is tenuous situations, and we've talked about it up and down, the various different issues, but the thing that gets me the most is you got to score runs to win games. And right now, I don't know where that comes from. You're moving around. You moved around the lineup. You had Altuve in the cleanup spot
again,
just because you don't have any level of certainty as to what's happening with your bats. I am so concerned, to be completely honest.
No, you should be. I mean, how can you not be as an Astros fan? The good news is TBD is pitching today. Oh, as of this morning, it was TBD. I think it's going to be a bullpen game.
Yeah, it seems like it'll be that'd be my best guess. Let's is that you get a bullpen now. Game against the Braves. Now, that is, how much of a saving grace does that feel like?
Oh, Jaden Murray. Jaden Murray is going to start tonight for the Astros.
All right.
What do you think about Jaden Murray, Figgy?
Who?
Jaden Murray.
Who?
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's the feel. And even if you know who, it's like, that's the feel, right? That's the feel. You're going into this game that you need to see if you can maintain some level of grasp on the lead, whether that's tied or retaking a one-game lead. And you're going into a bullpen game. And that's how sometimes it almost feels like, no matter who's on the mound, unless it's Hunter Brown or Jason Alexander, really, is that this feels like less of a certainty that you'll have a really good chance of winning this game.
Well, let me ask you this. This is the other big, big factor for the Astros over the last decade. They're the Astros. Are you feeling they're the Astros right now? That they can, you know, look, man, they pulled themselves out of the muck before. They've made that late. They've won on the last day before they've clinched the division in a very unlikely fashion as well. You know, they have that that special something that teams like the Astros build over the course of so many postseason appearances, et cetera. Does it feel that way?
No. Like, the only thing, and shout out to Chandler Rohn of The Athletic, he wrote a piece about A.J. Blue Ball. And Blue Ball gave a couple of veterans credit for helping him have that fantastic instance where he comes in and picks up the Astros pitching after Luis Garcia's re-injury, it seems like. And he talked about actually Christian Walker, who was the guy who came over when he's coming in. He's like, look, you don't got to speed up for nobody. Because we gave him credit. I know Todd Collis, might have been Blummer, that made note of it on the broadcast. Like, hey, this is good that he's recognizing, going through his whole warm-up routine and everything. That was Christian Walker that told him, do that. Do whatever you need. Take as much time reminding him of that. And then he also gave credit to Carlos Correa for also helping him kind of remain steady and be able to go out there and give that. The only thing that I could say is that feels kind of like some of the stories that we would tell about the Astros and the way that the clubhouse kind of helped each other to be the best version of themselves. But that's as far as I'm going, getting to feeling like this has the same vibes, the same feel as previous iterations of the Astros that we would feel confident could pull them out of this circumstance.
Well, and as the 281 says, you could always count on the offense over the last 8 years, even when pitching was inconsistent. That is true. That is absolutely true. And the offense, 196 over 15 games outside of Yordan. That ain't going to cut it.
And that kind of show you that even with Yordan being back, that's
we asked the question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is he going to solve everything? Well, we know the answer.
And I mean,
he's doing his part.
Yeah.
That's evident. Baseball is not a sport in which one guy can do it all like that. Unless, I mean, you can't move the guy around in the lineup. He'll get his opportunity, and then you have to have someone else be able to come through. And this is also in where do you place blame here? And not that necessarily you have to in this moment, because again, there's still an opportunity for this team to show up and answer the call. It's getting late early, right? But there's still that opportunity. But we were talking about the idea of like the ABs, like just some of the things that you were doing that would help you be better, at least slightly better versions of yourself early in the year. Even that has degraded to this point.
I don't know if you can place blame. Well, I guess by default it is. But, you know, when you talk about the offense, you know, we have to go back and look at the big picture here of the very, you know, beginning of the season. You know, we kind of like, you know, Pat Christian Walker on the head when he hits a big double or a home run that ends up being a big hit. But we keep in mind the expectation was not to just be a guy that's batting, what, 228 or whatever it is, and maybe get a big hit once in a while. No, the expectation was, I was sitting here going, I think this dude is going to be the leader. I think this dude is going to be the answer at first base. He's going to be, you know, exactly what this offense needs. If you go back to what the expectation for some of these guys were and where they are now, the expectation for the majority of clutch players in this team, normally clutch players on this team, is way down. Christian Walker, what was the expectation for Jose Altuve? Oh, he's a Jose Altuve. You know, and he started out a little slow, got on a little bit of a hot streak, I guess, June into July. And now he can't hit the ball at all. And he's flailing and just it's bad looking at bats, you know? So Christian Walker, less than what you expected. Jose Altuve, less than what you expected. Jeremy Peña, good for you. Right, you know, he's doing what we need to do. The pitching staff has fallen apart. Now, that's injuries, you know, largely. But when you look at the big picture and like, oh, they can do this, they can do that, based on what? You guys hear me say that all the time. Based on what? You know?
Yeah, no. And I know people bring up Cintron, right, the batting coach. And there was an interesting piece about how he had when Carlos Correa was making his return, like apparently they had been texting at one point, and Cintron gave Correa like, "Hey, this is what I've seen in your swing," and he's like, "Where'd you get this from?" He's like, "No, this is me just seeing it." He has the capabilities to help these guys. For some reason, it's not coming across, and maybe that's something that at the end of the season, no matter how it ends, that we then examine and do like a postmortem, because I imagine those are the times where you actually get more information and insight that'll be useful, but. Ultimately, the end-all be-all is the offense has got to come through. Like, as much as we could talk about the starting pitching, which we can, as much as we can talk about the bullpen, which is really in tatters at this point and being held together with a paper mache almost, it feels like, the game is about scoring runs. And if you don't score runs, you can't win with a shutout if you don't score any runs. So that's where it is. And speaking of shutouts, by the way, someone asked, how many have they had this season? 10 shutouts.
Oof.
For your Astros this season. And hopefully today is not another one as they face off against the lowly Atlanta Braves. And you have, what's my man's name? Jaden Murray, right-handed pitcher, starting for your Astros.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully he and the remainder and the other guys in the bullpen can pull it out, give them something that where the offense can add in their part and they can get a victory because they need it right now. Tied with the Mariners at the top of the AL West. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, all right, let's get those vibes off of us. It's still a Friday, so let's get to the question of the day. Inspired by Figgy Fig and his, let's say, encounter with a police officer in traffic yesterday. What's the craziest way or reason that you've been pulled over? Let's have a little fun with this one. 713-572-4610. We'll do it next. All right, question of the day. What's the craziest way or reason that you were pulled over? 713-572-4610. Inspired by Figgy Fig. Doing the right thing, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't regret it at all, man. I know I seen somebody on the text line yesterday say they were a cop, and they said, feel free to blow the horn, hit the horn. I don't trust that, man. I'm gonna need your I need your information.
Mm-hmm.
So if I ever did that,
you could be like, well, be officer so and so,
officer so and so in this district told me I can.
Which actually, that might get you in more trouble because that feels like the instance where he'd be, I don't give a damn, but what officer so and so said.
Or I would have said, that's my peoples right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's my family.
So yeah, you made sure to keep yourself.
I didn't. I had to stay at the light. Felt like 10 minutes because I guarantee you that cop was tested.
Oh, was it one of those lights that take forever?
Oh,
too?
He had to be tested.
It was taking forever, and it was construction, so it was only one lane.
Oh,
so it was one lane, make a left, right. So he was just sitting there, man. Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, is somebody walking across the street? I couldn't really see, and then the light turned yellow, and he cruised on through.
Oh, that's like, the worst. Damn.
All right, so we will open the bidding with from the 832. They said, played football at TJC and went to the Rose Garden by the stadium with his girlfriend, picked up 12 roses, cop shows up and explained and pointed out a sign that said it was a $100 fine per rose.
And what happened?
Let's see.
Mm-hmm.
Said dropped it and went off. Yeah, guessing.
Oh, I didn't pick any roses.
Yeah. I don't blame you.
They were already on the ground.
I don't blame you at all.
So yeah, a couple popped into mind for me. One was I couldn't help but laugh, but you know when you laugh, but you're also kind of like kind of mad.
Of course.
Yeah. So I was driving to it was here at the station. I was driving to a remote like the boys are going to have this afternoon. Out at
BB's, I believe it's on 99.
Yeah, in Katy. So I was driving to remote. I guess I stopped at a stoplight or something, and an officer was nearby and noticed me. But I was just driving along, and whoop, the lights come on. And I'm like, what was I doing? And I pulled over. This is, I don't even know who it was, and I wouldn't say if I did, because I hope this is not something that would get him in trouble, because it was a good prank. It was a cop that was listening and knew I was going to be. It was a big listener. And just pulled me over for fun. He goes, excuse me, sir, do you have your blah, blah, blah? And I showed him. He goes, yeah, good luck at the, I think it was Twin Peaks. He goes, good luck at Twin Peaks.
And then he just left?
And he started laughing. I was like, I laughed, but I was also like, what an a-hole.
You scared the living daylights out of
hell
me,
I
man.
I was like, what did I do? What did I do? He's like, good luck at Twin Peaks. I was like, oh, okay.
It would have made it a lot better if he disagreed with you on a take or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, Damian Pierce is the star. Talking about.
And the other one was also here. I think it was my first year working with Vandermeer here. We did the Houston Open back when it was at the Woodlands. And I pulled in, parked, go into our little setup there, and an officer taps me on the shoulder as I'm putting on my headphones, you know, and says, sir, unfortunately, we had to tow your car. And I went, I was like, what? I said, I used the pass. I parked where they told me. And Vandermeer's in the corner just laughing his ass off. He knew the cop. You know, the cop had been there every year. You know, at working security for the Houston Open. Like, God, you a-hole.
Well, at least you didn't get a ticket in either of these. I feel like you still came out okay.
Yeah.
Even though those were...
Excuse me, sir, we had to tow your car.
You're right. The car was there now, wasn't it?
Now we got to get Reggie like that.
Yeah.
Don't you dare. That's a great way to get to be dead to me forever. So don't even try. There's a couple that come to mind for me. One of them was indeed driving, so... you know, you get to high school, you get to a certain age, you can go off campus for lunch. And one of those days, I was going off campus, but I decided I'm going to be responsible. I'm just going to go to the house, you know, it's nearby. I can drive real quick. So I drove to the house, went, got me something to eat, and I was driving back to school. Mm-hmm. And there's two ways that I could have gone through the neighborhood. I was going one way, and I was like, nah, it's about to be a lot of traffic that way. Let me go the other way. So I thought to turn around in the neighborhood, and I was like, nah, this is going to be a bad look. Just hit this right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hit a right, but I didn't use a turn signal. It's a neighborhood.
Yeah.
Who's really
they
upset
got you
about
on
this?
The turn signal.
Whoop, whoop.
Oh, man.
And now I did mention I'm in a neighborhood, so you're thinking, where's this cop coming from? The cop was parked in a driveway, just chilling. And
a
I guess
residential driveway?
Residential driveway. Saw me turn without putting on a turn signal and decided, gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And yeah, so yeah, that was fun. The additional
did you
part
get a ticket?
Oh, not for that. Actually, I think I did get a ticket for that, but that's not what stuck with me. What stuck with me is a way longer story, but I had just gotten that car like not very long before mm-hmm. that, and we had been explained something too wrong. So I had thought that because I was under my parents' insurance.
Oh, no.
That I was good.
Oh, man.
The car was not insured, and thus, I got one of them tickets.
Oh, man.
Because I decided to turn around, but then I didn't turn around and didn't use my turn signal.
Oh, man. Got that good old SR22 bond.
Yeah.
Mine, I think I might have mentioned this story on the air before, how back in the day, me and a buddy was going to Kent, Ohio. To go look for some girls, pretty much.
Yeah.
And so we looking for the girls. We trying to call them, see where they at, so mm-hmm. we can meet up with them.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, whoop, whoop. I'm like, dad, I didn't do anything. Honestly, I kind of understood if they pulled me over because I was kind of driving like I was lost.
Yeah.
Which I was lost because I'm not from there, and I was looking for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Had us get out the car. They searched us, and they was just like grilling us to the point they were like searching our pockets. He grabbed my phone charger. He was like, what is this? And I'm like, it's a phone charger. I'm like, it's a phone charger. And my homeboy had a black brush with the long handle.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, what is this? And he's like, it's a brush. So we sitting there sitting on the car for like 45 minutes.
Oh, no.
It was cold. It was windy.
Yeah.
And we see the funny thing is we seen the girls way down on the side of the parking lot. And they ain't want no parts because they ain't know what was going on.
Yeah, that's the worst part about it is that now you're
in front
like,
of the hose.
Even when you're done. God, why does that keep coming up? Even when you're done, you can't go holler now.
Yeah.
It's over.
The night is over at mm-hmm. this point. And then all of a sudden we see another cop car pull up with somebody in the back, and all I hear was, no, that's not them.
Oh gosh. Oh, so they thought you were
mistaken identity.
So apparently somebody got robbed in a silver car which I was driving, and the guy pulled up and said, no, that's not them.
Woo, baby.
And so the guy didn't say, oh, sorry about that or anything. He just left.
You're free to go.
Yeah. Man, that was a long 45-minute drive back home, quiet. Me and my homeboy was quiet the whole time. Like, we could have went to jail.
Yeah, you're counting your blessings.
Yeah. So I'm like, man, that was the scariest thing I've been through. I'm like, that could have went totally left.
It is weird that I have a story that's almost exactly like that. All right, from the 832, they said, got pulled over at 4 in the morning.
Is it weird, really?
For no headlight. All right. It said, went to pull out my insurance card and zigzags fell out of his center console.
Oh, no, that'll do it.
Yeah.
And they call that paraphernalia.
Yeah. So how did your evening in the clinic go?
Yeah.
That's what I'm wondering about.
My father, one time, he had to go down to the court for mm-hmm. something. I forgot what it was. It wasn't nothing crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to go through the metal detectors and empty your pockets. He emptied his pockets. It was like 5 or 6 bullets.
What?
Just gun bullets.
Walking around with bullets in his pockets?
At that point, you got to be like, what you think I'm going to do, throw them? I'm going to use these?
He totally forgot it was in his pocket. So he sat there. So he pulled out his pocket. About 5 or 6 bullets. The cop was like, what are you doing?
All right. So, again, I know that. You've talked about some stories. I know that there's some stories of people that do this for fun from the 281. They said their little league coach was a sheriff. So when they started driving, the coach used to pull them over just to talk about the time that they went to the championship.
Oh God.
I feel like this is
terrifying.
I am no one to be able to tell police officers how to do their job in this regard.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we shouldn't do this. Like, no. I've seen the stories of, like, the police officers to try and help, help build community with the folks that would stop people and give them ice cream. And I'm like, It doesn't help. The ice cream doesn't fix.
Matter of fact, while we here,
you threw my whole day off already.
Matter of fact, while we here, I know we got a lot of cop listeners. Don't do none of this stuff, please. Like, nah, man. It's a lot of stuff going on in the world. Stress and true personal stuff.
Yeah.
We don't need these jokes to be going on, pulling over type jokes.
Even best case scenario, my brain goes, jail. Damn, this insurance about to go up. Like, I don't need that feeling for even the split second.
Yeah, don't try to handcuff me and then, I gotcha. Like, I do not need that, man.
If you're going to do it to anybody, do it to Pendergast, okay? Just do it to him. I'm sure he'd be all right with it.
Oh, man. How are y'all on the passing a cop on the highway? Because this happened to me just this weekend, and this whole conversation reminded me. I was driving somewhere, and the speed limit, I think, was 75, and the cop was going, like, 65. And I passed him, like, going 66.
You're good? I would do that. Now, the tough part is when the speed limit 75, the cop's going 75, and the whole, there's a traffic else, that starts right there. Everybody's an invisible line. We are not crossing this.
Yeah, everybody is just following the cop at this point.
Let me know, though, if you are a cop and you have that moment, is that funny to you? Do you enjoy being able to, like, slow everybody down in that moment?
66 and a half. I was just, like, barely passing.
I'd have gone to 70. I'd be like, I'm five miles per hour clear of the speed limit. You can't do this. I'm doing okay. Yeah. Somebody said, you know, a few of them are already going to look for you after the show. I walked to work, okay?
Yeah.
I walked. You can't
They could jump out the car and put you in the cuffs.
Sir.
You know that one cop that pulled me over is still telling that story.
Probably so, yeah.
It's not a bad story from this perspective, I don't think. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, get back to the sports of it all. Go around the NFL where a great Thursday night football game has some illuminating factor to it. And then also we welcome in B. Scott for the hour. We'll do all that next.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.